That is.
I'm Charles Holmes, the Ringer Music Show.
And I'm Cole Kushner from Dissect. And Charles and I are teaming up to create Last Song Standing, a new show where we determine an artist's single best song by debating our way through their entire catalog.
And for our first season, we're covering Kendrick Lamar. We're talking Good Kid, To Pimp a Butterfly, Damn, Mr. Morale, the mixtapes, the Lucys, and the features.
Listen to Last Song Standing on the Dissect podcast feed, only on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com. Tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else. This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
Welcome to Food News. I am Juliet Littman.
And I'm David Jacoby.
Let's put 30 minutes on the clock.
30 minutes.
Lots to get into.
Do it.
Hershey's has sent out a warning. Hershey's says that come Halloween, if there is not Halloween candy, don't be mad. They just want you to know right now that they foresee there could be a Halloween candy shortage come October, and they're really like setting expectations.
I found this interesting because at first my like, oh, this is fake antenna went up. But then I was like, this is on the earnings call. Like the CEO is like, by the way, The holiday that's completely built around candy, we might not have candy for it on the earnings call. Like, I didn't look, but I'm sure their stock dipped.
Okay. So we'll have a lot of stories today about like, wait, what? Is this a scam?
Yeah.
Or is this real? However, there's a really important quote in the article, which we got from CBSNews.com that I was like, wait, what? And I was like, oh, this is really a hedge. Because here's what it said. She said, this is from their CEO, her name.
On the earnings call.
On the earnings call. Yes, that's correct. Her name is Michelle Buck. Michelle Buck said, we have a strategy of prioritizing everyday on-shelf availability. It was a tough decision to balance that with the seasons, but we thought that was really important. Okay. So what I think this actually says is there's not going to be a shortage of Hershey's candy. There's going to be a shortage of Hershey's candy that is specifically branded or tweaked for Halloween.
Like the ones with the ghosts on it and with the packaging and whatnot. Yeah. And it's also like, and at the end of the article, they're like, oh, by the way, the M&Ms will be there. So it's not like there's going to be no candy.
Well, yeah, exactly. This is just a Hershey's
problem.
It's
just a Hershey problem. Yeah.
But it's not even a problem. It's just I guess that these companies make a ton of money from like the fake holidays that we're required to celebrate because you get inundated by them with retail.
Valentine's Day. Yeah.
All that. Mother's Day. Yeah. Father's Day.
No, no one celebrates Father's Day. We covered that.
Okay, right. It's like, let me sleep in, essentially. Anyway, I was like, this is an interesting hedge to me. So I just thought this was like, I'm like, am I misunderstanding or is everyone else misunderstanding? But I think that I'm correct.
Well, I went to business school.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So as a business person, intelligent one, when I saw this, I'd be like, I wouldn't tell them that on the earnings call. just fake it till you make it.
So
until there's a problem, I'm not telling everyone that there's a problem.
Counterpoint. Set the expectations really low. Let the stock drop now. Surpass your expectations and the stock skyrockets. I actually think a lot of companies are doing that right now because of the market. So that when they're doing better, like the surge will outweigh the drop right now.
Classic business maneuver in all industries at all positions is create a problem that's not really a problem. So it looks like you overcame it and solved it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Great move. Great I do that job. Around the house, not even just in professions.
Great job, Michelle Buck. You're crushing
it. Shout out to Michelle Buck.
Let's move on to booze news.
Booze news.
So, Jacoby, do you have any interest in owning and running a pub on the Queen of England's property in Sandringham, her country house in Norfolk?
Do I have interest? I spent an hour researching this today. We're taping a little bit later than normal. So I researched the fuck out of this story.
So here's the deal. This is from VinePair.com. They discovered that the Queen is leasing out a pub that is on one of her properties. And you have the opportunity to sign a 20-year lease to be the proprietor of the pub at the Queen's country house. And Jacoby, would you like the job?
First of all, I don't know anything about Sandringham because I'm not like a
Sandringham. Yeah,
it's where, Sandringham.
It's where they do Christmas. Yeah. They have the Christmas
walk.
Huge
property. Like huge. It's basically just like a huge park with many different offerings of playgrounds and walks and hikes and whatnot.
Yeah, I'll give you a little context. Sandringham's where if you see any Christmas Day pictures of the royal family, they do this famous walk. It's a big deal. Who gets to be part of it? They go to church. Will and Kate's primary home is in Norfolk, and it's they've been taking a helicopter from there to Kensington Palace in London, and it's become a problem. This is sort of like the alternate place where the royals go. The queen's not living there right now. I think she's living at Windsor, actually. But this is a really storied location.
I've also went on their website, deep into their website. They have a cafe on site, right? That's just a to-go thing. They also have a restaurant that closes at 5, which I found interesting.
Well,
and they have if you have a reservation for tea time between 3 and 5, you get a special tea time, which has nothing to do with golf. But I found that interesting.
It's
however,
high tea with sandwiches. Have you ever had a high tea with sandwiches?
No, never.
Oh my God, awesome. Most of the places you go, it's bottomless and it's tea, champagne, and finger sandwiches. And it's just like the best. I know Mike's not a tea. Come on, Mike. Have you done a tea?
No.
Wow.
No.
He's a huge fan of the Queen.
I've never done a tea. I like the way you talk about it. Like it's a drug. Have you done tea? In my over preparation for the story, I clicked on the place that's giving you this opportunity that has pictures. I went to the inside of this pub, kind of shitty. This is not like a glorious luxury pub. It's kind of looks like, man, y'all got some old wallpaper in here.
So
it looks like they're folding chairs around like a table. It's like, this isn't royal.
It's like hideous yellow walls.
Yeah, like it's not nice at all.
So here's something that I've learned this week. This has actually now come up twice. Did you happen to see that Sienna Miller's house was in Architectural Digest this week? She lives in a historic home outside of London. It has like a thatch roof. It is literally a house for hobbits. It like the roof is so low, and she can't like make any changes to it because like a really historic home from like the 1600s or whatever. So all these old English properties, you can't do shit to them because it's like, no, I got to preserve the old Englishness
of it. Well, we can get some new chairs, right? Like they're like folding chairs around like a plastic table. It's like, this is a true ugly pub.
Yeah, it can't be this is the original carpeting from like, you know, 1712.
Yes, that's what it looks like. It's gross.
It's so ugly, but yeah.
It's very like lowbrow interior for like a royal property.
I know. They try the Queen's thing is she tries to seem like salt of the earth, but obviously we know it's not true. I think being a proprietor on the property of the royal family seems like one of the absolute worst ways to get into the hospitality industry.
Yes,
I mean,
yes, exactly.
I think running a bar seems fun and like
sure does,
really hard or whatever. But doing it under the auspice of the Queen is just an absolute no-go for me. And then it becomes King Charles, and when she dies, hope that never happens. I mean, thank you.
If you're just running a normal bar, like you're worried about like health inspectors coming once a year.
Yeah, you're.
But imagine just like the royal people over your shoulder all the time.
You're just like, we don't like that chair.
Yeah, it's
like, let's go back to the other one.
Like, did you see the chairs you had before I got here? And then I looked at renting a private residence there, and they had a really interesting application process. They're like, this isn't first come, first serve. They're like, you have to apply, and we filter the results. And you can have a dog, but no cats in bold.
Here's the quote. Please be aware we have a strict, bold, no cats, close bold policy. Dogs will be considered on a house by house basis.
What?
So the Queen famously has a lot of corgis. Corgis? I don't know. I'm not a dog person. Corgis, I think.
Well, they're not cat people.
And so as a result, I feel like she's anti-cat because she's so pro-corgi.
I think you can be pro dog and cat. I just found it really weird that they put it. It's the only thing in bold in the entire website.
Maybe the queen's allergic to cats.
Maybe. But there's this thing is like 5,000 acres.
You know, I was wondering if this is going to outlive her. Like, will the queen's prohibition on cats continue into King Charles's reign? Who knows?
This does not seem like, first of all, the 20-year lease. What?
20 years.
20-year lease?
That's like New York City level.
I don't know what I'm doing like next weekend.
Also, like, what if there's another pandemic and no one can come to the bar?
Will it close in 2020?
Do you get
because
subsidized?
Because of the pandemic.
Yeah, like, are they going to subsidize you? What's the deal here?
I don't like this at all.
Me neither.
I don't want this job.
Me neither.
I guess we're not opening a bar on the Queen's property.
No, we'll be doing the exact opposite. We'll be staying here in the U.S. where we'll be having Mexican pizza all the time, thanks to Taco Bell. Taco Bell brought it back, and then they promptly had to take it off the menu because it's sold out so many times. But now they're ready to roll. They've figured out the supply chain issues, unlike Hershey's, and Mexican pizza is here to stay.
It's back. I don't think I've ever had one in my whole entire life.
So, me neither, but I'd love to.
All Taco Bell stuff kind of tastes the same. That's what I was worried about, the supply chain issues. I'm like, well, it's just all tortillas and ground beef.
Supply chain issues just seems like it's becoming a lie, which is why Taco Bell had to say, quote, while limited time offerings are core to Taco Bell's ability to churn out menu innovation, that wasn't the plan for the Mexican pizza. Upon its menu return, demand for the Mexican pizza was 7 times higher than when previously available. 7 times higher than when previously available? I just don't believe
that. Really? I don't
believe
it either.
Are there that many people like changing their mind when they go to Taco Bell of what they want to order?
No.
I don't think so either.
They're not.
People have like a go-to order and they don't really like come off it.
No.
So I just don't believe that. But I am really interested in this idea that companies have to clarify whether they're making up scarcity or if it's real, because this takes us to our most important follow-up of
the
week.
Yes, it does.
The Choco Taco.
Choco Taco. This is all bullshit.
You've been saying it since day one.
The Choco Taco will return.
Okay.
Read the tweet from Klondike.
I want to address the rumors. How do you feel about the I? Like Mr. Klondike?
No, I believe it is a talking Choco Taco. That's how I read it. Like it looks kind of like a mouth. That's how I read it.
It does kind of look like a mouth.
20 minutes.
I want to address the rumors. I'm really being discontinued. It's not a PR stunt. I knew you loved me, but not this much. While I reflect on this outpouring of support, we are discussing next steps, including what to do with the last 912, we counted, tacos at HQ. Stay tuned.
Read the last two words again.
Stay tuned.
It's coming back.
Definitely.
It's guaranteed to come back. And Juliet Littman had never had a Choco Taco in her whole entire life. And I went to the bodega today.
Which one?
By my job on Fulton.
Cool.
Not my regular one. And I was walking by the freezer, and what did I see?
A Choco Taco!
Julia Lippman's very first ever Choco Taco
is
coming.
This is so exciting. I can't believe it.
I'm so excited for this. I love Choco Tacos. This is my 179th Choco Taco.
It looks really good.
What do you think?
Of course, it's
really good. It's a Choco Taco.
This is going to be great.
Oh, no. Doesn't cut as well as last week's.
Well, that's okay.
Oh, God.
It's okay, man. You're doing the best you can. I support you.
Oh, God. Okay.
Okay, just tear it. Just tear it, Toby. Let's move ahead.
Here you go.
Oh, my God.
All right. Go for it. Juliet Littman is eating her very first Choco Taco. Maybe the last Choco Taco ever on the planet.
First and ever. First and last.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mmm. Oh, it's good ice cream.
Yeah, it's good.
Mmm. Oh, I like it. Yummy.
Right?
Okay. You know, does the shell ever get harder than this? There's not a lot of crunch happening here.
No, there's not a lot of crunch in the Choco Taco. The shell was made like 17 years ago.
Okay. You know what? I always forget. I love vanilla ice cream.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do. This is
no
really
one
good.
Loves vanilla ice cream.
This is really good.
No one in the world loves vanilla ice cream.
Jacoby, I'm telling you how I feel.
You do not love vanilla ice cream. I'm disregarding your feelings like normal. That's what I do.
This was really good. Thank you so much, Klondike, for having 912.
Now 911. Now 911.
What can we believe from that tweet?
None of it.
I'm just like, who wrote that tweet? And like, was this always a strategy? I actually believe they decided to discontinue it.
I believe it too. I believe they really decided to discontinue it because the Choco Taco sales were not that high. But then there is a small pocket of very vocal Choco Taco lovers such as myself. And I believe they're going to bring it back.
I would love to know if it is better business for them now with this outcry to bring it back and figure out how to source it and, you know, in a way that makes sense, or sell the IP. Like, do you sell the brand, spin it
off?
Love
it. Yeah. Serena's boyfriend.
Yeah. Alexis and her husband, Alexis Ohanian, would love to buy it. Like, I don't know. I just, I feel like that's the move right now. Sell the formula.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pump and dump.
Exactly.
Pump and dump the Choco Taco. Yeah. Pump and dump the Mexican pizza too. Whether they're orchestrated or not, these little PR things do drive interest.
Absolutely.
I didn't care about Choco Tacos a month ago.
Me neither. I never thought I'd be having one here.
I've never had Mexican pizza. I was looking at the picture today. I was like, that looks pretty good. Maybe I'll order one.
Oh, I love Taco Bell. Every time I'm driving
I love Taco Bell too.
In the car, I want a long drive, I'm always like, oh, I really want Taco Bell. And then I can never find one. But I know the Taco Bell's everywhere, but like,
because they're not on the highway.
I know.
You have to leave. You have to exit and drive a half a mile.
I hate that.
That's the thing. They're only a half a mile away. They're like 3 minutes off of your route, but you still won't do it.
I need it at the rest stop.
You got to go outside of here's what you got to do, because I know where you're driving.
Yeah. On I-95.
Pre-plan.
Okay.
The Taco Bell.
I know. I know where it is. Just not that deep into the drive. So I'm just like, I don't want to stop
yet.
Oh, no.
There's another one deep into the drive.
Okay. I guess I got to figure it out.
You'll figure it out.
Love Taco Bell. I'll just say Klondike and their Twitter feed is not the only people capitalizing on this Choco Taco love. There's a bar in Manhattan that I never heard of called Amy Fontaine. Have you heard of that?
No. I was like, is she the person that, what? Huh?
I know. I was like, is that the name of the bar? Okay. So they're making a Choco Taco teeny, sort of like,
mm-hmm.
you know, the espresso martini is really popular. Time Out New York wrote about this. And they were like, if you can't go to the bar here, you can make it yourself. It's ridiculous. You cannot make it yourself. I just want to read here are the ingredients. Cazadores Blanco, never heard of it. Chicory cold brew.
Yes, you have. Cazadores Blanco, it's just tequila.
Oh, it's just tequila. Clear tequila.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, I've heard of that. Chicory cold brew, no thanks. That's like going to Blue Bottle and getting like one chicory cold brew, no. Heavy cream or coconut cream, fine. Averno Amaro, like I'm not keeping that around the house. Yeah, me neither. Waffle cone syrup. What? It's vanilla, cinnamon, and almond. Am I supposed to make that?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck are they talking about? Absolutely not. Okay, and so then you add tequila, blah, 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 all the things together. You do a dry shake. And then strain it into a glass that has been rimmed with fudge shell chocolate and rolled in dry roasted peanuts.
Make it yourself at home.
Like, are you kidding me? Absolutely not.
This is going to take me 45 minutes. It's going to take me 2 seconds to drink.
I would break the glass probably trying to like make the chocolate happen on like the rim or whatever. Absolutely not. I'm not making that home, but I'm also not going to like Cat Fontaine's or whatever it's called.
Amy Fontaine's.
Yeah. So I have no interest.
Good tease. We might be going to a cat restaurant later.
What? Okay. Next story. We recently talked about a woman who accidentally, allegedly, brought a Subway sandwich from Singapore.
I love this story.
Into Australia, and she was fined. Well, it's happened again, but someone's come from Bali with McDonald's.
McDonald's from Bali. All right, Mike, really quickly, find out how long this flight is from Bali to wherever they are in Australia. So this is the part that really gets me about this. This woman boarded the plane with two beef sausage McMuffins and a ham croissant, which is an insane order.
So bizarre.
Insane order. And then to get these food items and not eat them is even weirder. Like, and then to get there and still have them not eaten. So let's explain. Just like follow my logic tree here. You're walking by McDonald's at the airport. You're like, ooh, I'm hungry now.
Had to have been the morning.
I'm going
to
get that. It's the morning, right?
She got breakfast, yeah.
So you get it and eat it. That's the most normal way to behave. B, I'm hungry now, but I'm late for my flight. I'm going to get it and then eat it on the flight.
On the plane.
That explainable. I'm going to get it, import it to Australia, not dispose of it, and then get fined for having it. That's three.
Here's some other thing. By the way, she was fined in U.S. dollars, $1,874. Here's some other things I'm confused about. First of all, as you said, she got a ham croissant and two egg and beef sausage McMuffins.
That's insane, by the way. Two McMuffins I've done before.
I love a McMuffin.
But and a ham croissant?
So good. Yeah.
That's three
okay.
Full-on breakfast sandwiches.
So let's say, so we know she doesn't eat it. She brings it with her, but she doesn't eat it. That shit's greasy. Where are you putting it where it doesn't get grease and smell all over your shit? Like, how do you forget about it?
It's insane.
Also, why are people trying to bring in, like, fast food to Australia? They have fast food there.
They have food in Australia.
By the way.
I don't understand any of this.
Mike brought up it's a 5.5-hour flight.
What?
So she didn't even, like, need all of this McDonald's.
What?
It's really.
I have so many follow-up questions. And again, like, I went to Mexico, and on the flight there, the flight attendant was very nice. They're like, listen, a lot of people go to Mexico, buy tequila, and then try to bring it back. They will not let you bring it back.
Why not?
Like, very clear about sort of like the customs or whatever. But it was very nice and informative. If I was a flight attendant landing in Australia, I would go over the thing and be like, by the way, you can't bring food here. You'll be charged $2,000. And if I had three breakfast sandwiches from 6 hours ago, I would throw them away.
Not even I would eat that. And I have to say, I really love an egg and beef sausage McMuffin. I mean, we call that
sausage McMuffin.
Yeah, sausage. Yeah. I mean, I love that shit. Chris Ryan
it's
and
really
I.
It's really good.
Remember when Chris and I had a McDonald's phase at Grantland?
Yes, I do.
I used to get an egg white McMuffin just to like be fake healthy because I was still at McDonald's.
An egg white McMuffin?
So lame, right? It was still delicious.
I didn't know that was an option.
And I think they've discontinued it. It was good though. But like McDonald's is just. The breakfast at McDonald's is so delicious.
But how could you possibly be hungry, buy that, and then not eat it?
I have no idea.
Do you think she bought like five breakfast sandwiches, ate two, and was like, I'll stash these for later?
The other thing that I don't...
None of this makes sense.
The other thing I just don't understand is both of these people were traveling alone. And so why did they have like... So, I mean, the Subway sandwich is more
fine.
Understandable.
That's fine. You eat half the other half for later. That's normal.
These three... pictures. By the way, she also had the side of pancakes here that I see in the picture.
What is she doing?
I think that also the reason we know about this is because, like, similar to how the TSA Instagram account is like tries to like be cute, mm-hmm. the Australian government is like trying to do the same thing. But I just don't understand why this one woman needed to have this giant breakfast.
It's a lot. Now I'm going to try to shame here or whatever.
No,
big breakfast is fine, but that's an insane order by yourself. Think about the size of the bag they're going to give you because of the pancakes.
It's in like this whole box.
It's in that huge thing. Yeah. It's just like, what are you doing, lady? I have a theory.
Okay.
I just figured this out now. This was not like pre-thought of bit.
Okay.
Xanax is to blame.
Oh, like
long flight.
Xanax hunger.
Takes two Xanax, passes out, and then just zombies her way through customs.
5 hours is not a long enough flight for the Xanax treatment, in my opinion.
Oh, my wife once took Ambien on a flight to Miami.
Oh, my God.
I was like, what are you? We got to the hotel.
It's 3 hours
like,
away.
Lying on the bed. I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing, lady?
Oh, my God.
Yes, I think Xanax. The only thing that makes any sense is like two Xanax and just passed out and then woke up and just like zombied her way through customs and cost her $2,000 because of it. It's a huge order.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, if I was with three other people, I would order that. Be like, all right, one ham croissant, two McMuffins, and pancakes.
Also, I love that shit, but it does make me feel sick now. Like, I'm just like, if you eat all of that, you're going to feel really disgusting.
I had McDonald's this weekend.
Did you feel sick?
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes me sick.
Yeah, they gave me an extra chicken sandwich.
Oh, yum.
And I was just like, I do not need two spicy chicken sandwiches from McDonald's right now.
Definitely not. Jacoby, we have time for one more story. And okay. I think you know which we need to talk about.
Cat restaurant or pickles?
Cat restaurant.
Cat restaurant, let's go.
Don't you think?
Yes.
This is one of the worst ideas I've ever heard of. I just cannot believe this is happening. I'm disgraced. I feel disgraced as a human.
Did you read the whole thing?
Yeah.
I liked it. I feel the exact opposite of you.
Oh my God.
It's like first take. Let's debate.
Wow. A restaurant is opening in New York.
Gato Blanco.
Gato Blanco. And it is going to have different meals that are like inspired by like what cats eat.
Fancy
basically.
Feast.
Yeah, Fancy
by
Feast.
By Purina Fancy Feast.
Yeah.
I'm 100% on board with this.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Why?
I just thought it was kind of cool. The fact that it's only there for 2 days made me want to go. I already texted producer Mike to ask him to try to get the reservations.
You're just a sucker for the scarcity.
Yeah, I am.
Oh
and they
God.
Said it was in the West Village near the meatpacking district. I was like, oh, I like that area.
Okay.
The chef looked nice in her picture.
Here are some of the items they're going to have. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Salmon con pomodorini. Salmon with cherry tomatoes.
Sounds good.
Prosciutto di manzo. Beef short ribs and red wine.
Mm.
And lemon panna cotta. I, too, like all of those things.
Short ribs and red wine sauce? That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, sure. I like all three of those items. Why does it have to be associated with cats? Like, this is just regular food.
I don't... Sometimes, like, with this, I'm like, what's the budget for this? But it's not going to make anyone buy more cat food. It's only there for two nights. Like, the time and effort it takes to put into this to have, like, 150 people?
Not even. It's 16 people.
60 people total?
Yes, only 16 people get to go.
oh my God.
Yeah.
This is insane.
I know. It's just like, well, it's really basic recipes, right? Or like dishes. Okay. Beef and salmon are as basic as it gets. That's at every fucking wedding you'll ever go to. Would you like the beef or the fish? And it's always salmon. So
fair.
I just think they're doing this pretty cheaply. It's just, it's way more for us to talk about it. And here we are.
There you go.
Shall we move on to our taste test?
Well, it's attached to a news story.
It sure is.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client. This episode is brought to you by NetSuite by Oracle. The less your business spends, the more margin of money you have. I think that's pretty obvious for everyone, but actually doing it, that's easier said than done because the cost of everything is going up these days. So do the smart thing. Switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth so you can easily reduce costs and headaches. NetSuite specifically helps by reducing IT costs since it lives in the cloud with no hardware required and cutting the costs of maintaining multiple systems since everything you need is on one suite. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. See for yourself how effective NetSuite can be and try it out today. And by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/ringer. That is netsuite.com/ringer. This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com. Tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
So, have you ever heard of the race car driver Richard Petty? He's a NASCAR driver.
Yeah, of course. I'm old.
Oh, I never heard of him.
Yeah, he's old.
He's 85. He posted, or someone in his life posted, a picture of his favorite sandwich on his Twitter account. The picture was taken during the 2020 pandemic shutdown. I don't exactly know why that's relevant if this is his favorite sandwich.
Yeah, he's 85. He's probably doing this for 60, 65 years.
And has done it like the last 2 years. And
calling it a sandwich is a bit much, too.
I would say it is more incorrect than calling a hot dog a sandwich. This is one piece of bread.
Mm-hmm.
With
open face sandwich,
open,
we'll call it.
Yes, it's an open face piece of bread slathered with mayonnaise and then just a shit ton of pepper
so
on top.
So much pepper on top.
In fact, producer Mike, who put this together for us, thank you, Mike, did not put as much pepper on as Richard Petty does. So we're this is like the Petty light. We're not even having the full Petty.
The full Petty. That's insane. I mean, you're just like, you wouldn't taste anything but pepper.
Yeah, I'm nervous. So this has been
also, we got a text
out
from producer Mike, and he said, do you want me to make your mayonnaise sandwiches now so it can marinate Juliet Littman style?
I felt seen. I really appreciated it.
Good. Here we are.
All right.
Petty open-faced mayonnaise and tons of black pepper sandwich.
I just want to note, I opted to get white bread because I felt that's what Richard Petty ate it on.
Richard Petty has never had wheat bread in his life.
No.
Never once in his life. You go first.
This is probably the most pepper I will have ever had in one bite.
Yeah, definitely. That's not a probably. That is 100% guaranteed. I'm worried about sneezing, the sneeze effect here. Let me try this.
It's not horrible.
Not bad.
It's really dry.
Not bad.
It's not bad.
Not bad.
It's really dry. And the pepper is like kind of like infiltrating my tongue a little bit. And I'm like,
not bad.
Yeah, like I have another bite.
I was a little worried about eating it. And now I want a second bite.
I do too. Also, if I had gotten nicer bread, this would be really delicious.
This is not, it's really opened my eyes to how much pepper I should put on stuff.
I thought you were going to say how long you should let mayonnaise sit out.
No, never that. But look at this pepper. You would never think that that is even acceptable.
Never.
But you would never, ever think that that is going to be kind of good.
It is good.
It is. I should be putting more pepper on my sandwiches and in my soups.
Wow. This is a revelation.
I thought we were going to laugh at Richard Petty and we were going to sneeze and it's going to be like one of those taste tests where it's like one of those dare taste tests.
I'm
not
shocked.
Bad. Not bad.
It's kind of hot. I kind of got a big pepper aftertaste.
Well, you've got, you know.
Yeah, I'm sensitive.
You're spice intolerant.
Yeah, exactly.
Sensitive palate. How do you say it?
Sensitive palate.
Sensitive palate. Yeah, you make it sound like it's something like you want. The sensitive palate.
I'm compromised.
I'm compromised.
My tongue is compromised. Bite. Yeah, I had two bites.
I'm going to have a second bite.
You know,
shouts at Richard Petty.
I think there's something to athletes having like a ridiculous amount of mayonnaise because also in the same SB Nation article that brought to light the tweet that we were reading, it showed that Dale Earnhardt eats a slice of bread with mayonnaise and like banana on it. I think that's serious. And then the Kentucky quarterback apparently puts mayonnaise into his coffee. And I think this just might be like, you know, mayonnaise is oil and egg yolks. I'm like, is this trying to get like more protein? Like, I don't really get it.
I don't think so.
Anyway. Wow. Richard Petty. Shout out to you.
Richard Petty. Shout out to him.
I liked it. Let's go on to personal food news. And I'd like to go first because mine is crazy.
Yeah. Go for it. You don't need permission.
I was at a Whole Foods yesterday that I don't usually go to. I didn't seek it out. It was just out of convenience. I was nearby. I had to get home. I needed to get cucumber, avocado, and something else. I don't remember. Oh, blueberries. So I go into this Whole Foods. It's the one by Bryant Park. Have you been to that one?
No.
At this Whole Foods, they have a vegetable butcher.
Wow. I love this idea.
I do too, because I hate chopping and dicing, but I've gotten into cooking.
I love this.
And when you buy like chopped up onion, you're like, oh, how long has it been sitting around? Did they properly clean the knife that chopped it up? Like,
I love this.
But so you can pick your vegetables and then go over to the window and they fucking cut it up for you the spot.
For free?
For free.
What?
It was incredible.
I've often felt this way where I'm like, buying a carrot costs 75 cents, but buying cut-up carrots costs $3.75.
Yeah.
Vegetable butcher?
Yes. It was amazing.
Holy shit.
And like, I don't live close to Bryant Park, but I wish I did to take advantage of the vegetable butcher.
I love vegetable butcher.
Me too. It's
this
amazing.
This is like wheels on suitcases. Like, why weren't we doing this before?
I think it might be like an old school thing because I was with my mom and she's like, have you ever seen that before? And I was like, no.
Betty Jane was involved?
She knew about it. Yeah, we were having
a nice Alfred.
Time together. Yeah, shout out to my dad. Thanks.
Shout out to Alfred.
Anyway, it was a revelation. It was so awesome. I wish I had a vegetable butcher in my neighborhood.
God, please. I love it. I mean, this could be like its own business.
Absolutely.
It could be its own business.
Absolutely. I mean, if I were trying to get into the fruit and vegetable world, I would start like a boutique vegetable butcher.
Yes.
Next to the regular butcher.
Yes. And also like you can give him instructions.
Yeah, exactly. How big do you want your pieces? What are you making? Oh, for this type of soup, I recommend this size.
I'm grilling these onions.
Yes. Okay.
What size?
Exactly.
I need half of it diced and half of it sliced.
It was amazing.
God, I love this idea.
I know. Whole Foods at Bryant Park. Check it out.
Wow. This should be much more popular.
I know. Let's bring it back.
Vegetable butcher. Amazing. All right.
Your
turn. 10 seconds. Big shout out to my friend, Adam.
Okay.
Schulman, who put me onto this.
Okay.
Sashimi, or we'll call it sushi. When you get a clump of rice and you get one piece of fish on top.
Okay.
I do the soy sauce and wasabi mix.
30 seconds.
Which I guess isn't like what pure sushi people do. Whatever. That's what I like.
Sugarfish, they wouldn't recommend that.
I like what I like. All right.
I respect it.
One thing I don't like though is when I dip it in there, the rice, which was so nicely held together,
disintegrates
and turns into, and it's all over the place. I feel
individual,
like it's a rush to get it into my friend Adam. Just take the chopsticks, remove the piece of fish, dip the fish, and then put it back on top of the clump of rice. Game changer.
Did he invent that move?
I do not think so. But that is the vegetable butcher of sushi consumption.
Incredible.
We're just making lives better around here.
I want
food
sushi.
News.
This is making me want sushi. Sounds good.
It'll change your life.
Okay.
It'll
awesome.
Change your life.
Awesome.
That is how you should be dipping your sushi.
Well, we've learned a lot today. Thank you so much to Mike Wargon for preparing our incredible Petty sandwich.
Thank you to Richard Petty.
Thank you to Richard Petty for coming up with this brilliance and
thank
sharing
with
us.
Thank you to the vegetable butcher.
Thanks to the vegetable butcher. I'll be visiting you. And we'll be back next week.
I love a vegetable butcher.